There is a dramatic difference in your life if you walk without God or you walk with God. If you walk with yourself, your life is a mess. If you walk with God, it's different. Now, there is no easy way to live life. An easy path in life, they call it the American dream, I don't know what they call it. An easy path in life does not exist. There's no easy way to live life. There's only the hard way. So the question is, in view of the hardships and the difficulties of life, the question is, how are you going to relate to them and what is going to be the end result? You cannot change your circumstances. You can't change your wife. Come on, husbands. I haven't heard of peep. You can't change your wife. Come on. You can't change your husband. Come on, ladies. But you can change how you live with them. That you can change. You can't change the fact that regardless of how you live or where you go, you are going to have insurmountable difficulties. Somebody said, how is the Christian life? It's tough, it's hard, it is rough. But I will promise you that if you walk with God, the blessings of God will overwhelm all of the difficulties in your life. That's the way it works. And in this chapter, Paul is talking about how your life is when you walk with yourself. It's called the life in the flesh. And how it is when you walk with God, and it's called the life in the Spirit. There are two different ways you walk with God. Two different ways you deal with your circumstances. If I walk in myself, I will end up disrupting and destroying everything around me. Everything in my life will be the poorer for the experience. If I walk with God, everything in my life will be the richer for the experience. Now, how are we going to walk? So, he tells us that the best thing to do is to imitate God. Just imitate God. God isn't stupid. Come on. God knows what he's doing. God knows how to deal with sinners. God knows how to deal with saints. God knows. Imitate God. What does God do? So, how are we to walk? Not in ourselves, but in love, because Christ is, that's the way God does it. Verse number 2. And then he talks about all the things that happen when we walk with self. Verse number 3, verse number 4, verse number 5, verse number 6 and 7. This stuff is not to be a part of the believer's walk. Now, I promise you that if you don't walk with God, it will be. In fact, the culture in which we live will make sure it is. Between Facebook and Twitter and between the internet and pornography and between the pressures of the culture around you, you will become one thing or another. Somebody is going to mold your life. When we were in the 60s, were the days of the great sexual revolution, liberation, they called it. We're liberating from the old moral values. And the professors would say in the classroom in those days, don't let your parents tell you what to do. Be out on your own. Now, wait a minute. Stop. What did that professor just do? What did he just do? He said, do not listen to your parents. Don't let them mold your life. Listen to me. Let me do it for you. And what I'm telling you this is, somebody is going to mold your life and your thinking. You're not going to do it by yourself. You're going to become a part of self or the Spirit. Okay? There's no neutral ground. This business of rebellion, nobody does his own thing. He either does God's thing or he does Satan's thing. That's the way it is. That's the fact of the matter. And there's no ground between. There's nobody else involved in this thing. There are two moral universes that are out there. And you're going to live in one or you're going to live in the other. And Paul says the moral universe over which Satan reigns is not the universe in which the believer should walk. But if you walk in yourself, doing what you please and what you want to do, you're going to be in the wrong universe. Okay? All right? So he goes on and he talks about in verse 11, not having fellowship, don't participate in these works of darkness, correct them, really convict them. And then he tells us we need to walk wisely. Verse 15, walk circumspectly, walk wisely. Be careful how you walk. Don't be like an unwise person, but as the wise. And verse 16 on page 2, we redeem and make the most of your buy up the opportunities because the days are evil. Understand the Lord's will in verse 17. Don't live a purposeless, selfish life. Know why you're here, why God made you, and what God has for you, and walk in that light. Don't be drunk with wine. That's stupid. The wine will saturate your whole being, and it will control your whole being. Now, the Spirit of God does not control us, but he does fill us and quicken us. And therefore, he says, be being filled with the Spirit. Okay? Now, I haven't underlined that, but in verse 18, we're on page 2, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess or dissipation, but be being filled with the Spirit. Now, when you read verse 19 and 20 and 21, and when we get to husband and wife relationships, these things are the overflow of being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit has results. It bears fruit in your life. When the Holy Spirit ministers in your life and you're in a difficult circumstance. Now, wait a minute. Are you awake? Are you awake? When the Holy Spirit of God is filling you and ministering to you and in you and through you, in a very difficult circumstance of life, your behavior in that circumstance will be absolutely and totally different than it will be if you walk in it by yourself. Okay? Totally different. Your response, your attitude, your demeanor, all of it's going to be totally different. Constantly, I find myself, and I hope you do, I find myself asking God, I'm saying, God, something's wrong in my spirit. Please minister to me by the Holy Spirit of God. Fill me with the Holy Spirit of God. Because that changes the outcome of everything. It changes the relationship to it, and it changes the outcome. And when he talks about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, this is not a natural self kind of thing that we are going to do. Let me ask yourself the question, is the Holy Spirit of God a complainer? Is the Holy Spirit of God a griper? Does the Holy Spirit of God come to you and say to you, you really got a raw deal? That person had no business saying that about you. You need to do something about it. Does the Spirit of God minister that way? What did Paul mean when he said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us? Does God come out on top or does he come out on the bottom? Who wins all the wars in Revelation? Who always comes out on top? Who always wins? Jesus Christ always wins. Through death and burial and resurrection. He came out of that tomb, but he not only came out alive, he came out to be seated at the right hand of God the Father, far above all principalities and powers and mights. Every name that's named, you and I serve a triumphant God. He is not Lord under the circumstances. He is the God who is in charge of the circumstances. And he is the God for those who walk with him, who works all of these things to the benefit and the blessing and the glorification of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Boy, that's a key. Okay? So, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is God's answer for what the self life does, our walk in the flesh. This is God's answer for the combat we're going to have this coming week in our lives. How many of you are going to avoid the combat in this coming week? Nobody. It'll be in your home. It'll be in your family. It'll be at your school. It'll be in your workplace. It'll be in your neighborhood. It'll be at the grocery store where somebody will just ram right into your grocery cart because they're not walking or watching where they're going. I mean, it'll be all over your life. So how are we going to do it? A divine provision. The Holy Spirit of God. Now, this is a real conundrum to me. Solomon built this beautiful temple. I would love to have seen it. Yeah, I mean, it was gold-plated, gold on the floors. Tremendous place, bronze. And the thing was that God was going to live there. And the thing that Solomon got Solomon's heart and mind all captured was the God that doesn't fit inside the universe was going to live in that temple. But that was God who lived. That's Shekinah glory. And that was God living in that temple. Don't ask me how the God that overflows the universe because the universe can't contain him. How can God fit in it? How can God fit in your body and the Holy Spirit? But he does. And that's God in you. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. So when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then these things happen, and we'll get to the marriage. This business of husband and wife, and wives, you got to obey your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And both of those are impossible. But we get to this thing, and we get to the order that God has set up and how it works. But what we're talking about a spirit-filled life, because apart from a spirit-filled life, a wife cannot obey her husband, and a husband cannot love his wife. This doesn't happen this way. The self doesn't do it. You can have this emotional pitter-patter, but I want to tell you, when the bank account doesn't balance and you can't agree on who overspent. Okay? So this business of being filled with the Holy Spirit is very, very important for the believer. In every endeavor of life, you do it by yourself and you are in trouble. So what happens to a believer? He's walking the walk. He's walking with God. And I promise you, again, the thing that governs the circumstances in my life is Murphy's Law. This fella Murphy. I don't know who he is, but I would like to get him. I'd like to chop off his head and bury him. Murphy's Law. What is Murphy's Law? Somebody tell me what Murphy's Law is. If anything bad can happen, it will happen. And it will happen at the most inconvenient time. And not only will it happen, but it'll happen at the time when you're least able to cope with it. This happens. This is the story of my life. Murphy's Law. But then when the hand of God moves into Murphy's Law, wow. Then you begin to see the reality of God. And when the reality of God becomes real to you, your life changes. It's life-changing. And then, so in the midst of the real world, not the theoretical world, not come to church and sing songs because somebody gets up with a hymn book and leads the singing, and the organist and the pianist play, all right? There's got to be something within the heart of the believer that overflows through the ministry of the Holy Spirit into the lives of other people that lifts them up and encourages them. And that's what he's talking about here. Speaking to yourselves. Laleo. It's a ministry of speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Oh, man, am I enjoying this trial. Oh. It occurred to me one day as I was studying through Philippians, and the word Philippians uses the word rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And so many times, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice again, I say rejoice, and in everything give thanks, and we've got these things. And my mother used to quote these. My mother was good at quoting scripture. She frustrated her children. because we knew we needed it, but she would say, give thanks, rejoice. Let me tell you something at this point in time. I may have told you this one time. My first car, I was a student of Bob Jones, and I felt burdened to start a church, to plant a church. I was in my senior year, and so I started praying for an automobile. And my parents didn't have money, and I didn't have money, and I didn't know how I was going to get it, so I prayed. And I was out on a ministry team from Bob Jones. We were a musical ensemble. There were five or six of us, went the whole summer. And we were out, so I got to travel the West Coast. And in the middle of the summer, I got a letter from a fellow I hardly ever knew. He said, when you get home, he lived up about 30 miles from me. And he said, when you get home, I found a car. I'm going to overhaul the motor, and I'm going to bring it down and give it to you. Wow, that was wonderful. That's how I got my first car. And so I asked the Lord for it. I said, God, I said, I'd like to ask you for a car. I don't know what you think about that, but I said, I think I need one. And so I want to ask you for one, and I got it. So the first week I was up in Morganton, North Carolina. That church is still there. And I went there 6 years ago, and we celebrated their 50th anniversary. Has had a great ministry. But the first week or the second week I was up there, I'm trying to get my facts straight here, I was going over the top of a little knobby hill and down a steep little incline. It was about 2 blocks long to the bottom. And I put my foot on the brakes, and my foot went right down to the floor. No brakes. So I pulled on the emergency brake, and nothing happened. I just kept going. And at the bottom of the hill, there was a cross street and a stoplight, and there was a lady sitting there just waiting for the stoplight to turn. And I said, lady, hang on, here we come. And we came, kabang, and we bounced and hit her again. I mean, we did it real well. So I had to call home and tell my mother what had happened. Do you know what my mother did? What a teacher she was. My mother, after she got my call, she hung up and she went into her bedroom. And she got down on her knees by her bed. And she thanked God for what had happened. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? She did that. Because she knew that God was in charge of everything. She was right. She knew you could trust God no matter what the circumstances were. She was right. Now, when the Spirit of God fills us, how many mothers would have done that? We've got no money. How are we going to get this thing fixed? Etc., 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 etc. Wow. So, the Spirit-filled walk is totally different than the self-filled walk. Totally different. The self-walk, does it affect me? The Spirit-filled walk, how does it affect God? You see, my trials are really not about me ultimately, they're about God. Let's pause. My trials are really not about me, they are about God. Help me. I'm not going on. Yes or no? They're really about God. God has allowed them for divine purpose. And my greatest need at the moment is for God's purposes to be fulfilled in the trial. Yes or no? And this cannot happen with the self-life, because self does not have it in it to do what God needs done. So the Spirit of God fills me, and that changes everything as I walk with God. So when we come together as believers, We're walking with God, filled with the Spirit of God. We're living in the same world. Every one of us is living in Murphy's Law world. Yes or no? We all live there. All right? So we're all living there. What do we all need? Griping and complaining. Fussing and fuming. What is it that lifts the human spirit? Singing, praising. Go back to Philippians, the word rejoice. I finally figured out that the word rejoice means to celebrate. Are you awake? To celebrate God's triumph over your circumstances. That's what it means. To rejoice is not to say, I love the circumstances and I'm really enjoying this mess I'm in. I've never enjoyed being in a mess. You haven't either. Self will never be glad about a mess. How are you? I'm fine, thank you. I'm doing okay. I'm spiritual. Oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. Apart from the Spirit of God, there is no way we can celebrate God's triumph over these circumstances. Not possible. Speaking to yourself, ministering, verbally ministering in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, communicating to each other in Old Testament psalms and hymns, not in ditties and ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. What? That's not going to help you. There needs to be genuine joy flowing out of the heart. Because the Spirit of God, see, the Spirit of God is the one that ministers the joy. Ah, did I get that right? Did I get it right? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. That doesn't come from self. And if God's Holy Spirit doesn't minister to me, I don't have it and you don't either. So there is an overflow of ministry that comes out of a walk with God, out of being filled with the Spirit of God. And if you live your life filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you're not a perfect believer. You are in God's eyes a saint, but you're not a perfect believer in the eyes of human beings. And out of this comes a testimony of triumph. I could stand up, I love this, and God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. Well, you know, I don't live an easy life, but I want to tell you that's true. He loves me so, He loves me so, He loves me so, He's so good to me. Ah, I have a wonderful God. Now, does that lift your spirit? I hope it does. We minister out of the Holy Spirit of God ministers His ministry through us. And His ministry is a spirit of triumph and joy and the supremacy of God and the goodness of God and the greatness of God. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. I don't know what you listen to. I don't know what you listen to during the week. But I just hope and pray you don't listen to the junk that's out in our culture. Because I will promise you that your spirit will suffer enormous damage from that. Somebody said, I've said this before, let me repeat it to you though. Do you know how you can get your dead dog back? The one that got run over by the car. And the house that burned down, how you can get that all back just like it was before it burned down. By the way, you know how you can get your marriage back? Back intact. What you do is you play country western music backwards. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Because that's all the world's music is about. It's about filth and rot and tragedy with no triumph, no meaning, no positive outcome at the end, no God in control, no way you're ever going to prevail over this mess because you are a victim of it till the day you die. What kind of music you listen to? So, There's joyful communication. That's what we've got in our notes. Singing means to sing with a voice. And psalming, that's the Greek text, psalming, which can include instrumental music, in your hearts. Are you with me in the outline now? We're at the two-thirds of the way down the page. Singing, psalming, in your hearts to whom? What this means is the church is supposed to have somebody performing on the platform so that you'll enjoy the music. That's what that means, right? What we're to do is to sing to the audience, right? Isn't that what it says, sing to the audience? Read the text. Help me. Help me. We can't go on until we find out to whom we sing. To whom do we sing? We sing to the Lord, not to the audience. We sing to the Lord. And when we sing to the Lord, hymns and songs, spiritual songs and psalms, when we sing to the Lord, what is the net effect on the lives of those who are around us? Even when you're sitting in a congregation and singing, you sing to the Lord out of your heart. Not because somebody directs and you have to sing because everybody around you is singing. It is the Spirit of God fills. Do you? Let me ask you a question. When you come to a church service, do you ever ask God to fill your heart with praise? You ever ask God to do that? To fill your heart with joy so that you can sing to Him and so that every believer in the place will be benefited and edified by your singing? You don't have to be able to carry a tune in a bucket. This has nothing to do with professional quality of the voice. This has nothing to do with performances. This has everything to do with the Spirit of God filling a believer's heart. And when the Spirit of God fills a believer's heart, the Holy Spirit is always the Spirit of praise. Jesus said, He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. The Holy Spirit is in the business of glorifying God and praising God. He's the Spirit that fills our hearts with gladness, and not joy from the circumstances, but with His joy. With His joy. Singing and psalming in your hearts to the Lord. Wow. Not to the audience. And people, it is an abomination, and I think that's not too strong a word, that our church services have been turned into a performance that entertains an audience. This is singing to the Lord. This is every congregant, everybody who is here is to sing to the Lord. And somebody standing on the platform swallowing a microphone and tapping his foot to a drum beat cannot do your singing for you. Worship never happens until the believer, filled with the Spirit of God, has an overflowing heart of praise to God. Church music is not about entertainment. It should be quality, it should be good, it should be well done. But it's not for entertainment. I like that kind of... No, it doesn't matter whether you like that kind of music or not. It's what does God hear when He's listening? And does it come out of the heart? Is it spiritual music? Is it psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Is it telling the truth? These are all involved in music. But the hymns of the church are not a means by which God's people are entertained. They're a means by which the Spirit-filled believers can pour out a heart of praise and thanksgiving in spite of everything that's happening in their lives because of a great God and a good God who is triumphing over every circumstance in their life. And the giving of thanks is a part of that. Again, the Holy Spirit of God, maybe I ought to have you say this with me, the Holy Spirit is not a complainer. The devil is a complainer. The Holy Spirit of God is not a complainer. Giving thanks. The Holy Spirit of God makes us cognizant. He makes us aware of the goodness and greatness of God in our lives. I am amazed at how many believers are totally unaware of the goodness and greatness of God in their lives. There is an absence of awareness of the works and blessings of God in their life. And I say to myself, how can this be? I am no better than you are. I have no merits before God of my own, period. You don't either. None of us do. And yet, as wretched as my life has been, and the many failures my life has exhibited, this great and this good God has overwhelmed my life of failures and difficulties with his goodness. Giving thanks always. Is that what that says? Does the Spirit of God ever change his tune? Let me ask that question. Today the Holy Spirit is saying, it's wonderful. Tomorrow he's saying, man, you got a raw deal. Life is treating you badly, my friend. How does the Holy Spirit of God, does the Holy Spirit of God minister joy and encouragement? Does he do that? Well, if you'll ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, you'll get this kind of thing. Self will, this kind of stuff never comes out of the normal self. It never comes out of the normal self. I thank God for parents that taught me never to complain. They taught me that God was good. And I was always to recognize his goodness. Are your eyes open? Can you see? Always giving thanks for some things. For the good things, right? For the things you enjoy. No. For everything. For everything. Pas, everything. The Greek word is pas. Always giving thanks for everything unto God the Father. And do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's directed personally toward God. A very personal recognition of the blessings and benefits which come from God must be a vital part of our life. And if we do not give thanks, we are the poorer for it. We are the poorer for it. Notice at the bottom of the last line on the bottom of page 2, Stuart Custer says, the giving thanks is equivalent to praising and celebrating the greatness of God. And then you'll notice page 3, we do it as a habit of life, as a habit of life for everything. And we're to do it in the realm and context of the sovereign favor of Christ and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. His name represents who and what he is. Now, notice this prayer, that paragraph underneath that. I should have highlighted this. All things do not work together for good. Do you see that? Look at it on your page. All things do not work together for good. Do you agree with that? I thought all things work together for good. All right, let's read the paragraph. Read the paragraph. All things do not work together for good in and of themselves. God causes this to happen in the lives of those who love him and embrace his purposes for their lives. Okay? The things that the circumstances in your life themselves do not produce the good that's needed. God turns these things on their heads and uses them in blessing in your life. It's an amazing thing that takes place here. Hebrews 3, 13, 15. I want you to read this verse aloud with me. Got to clean this up, okay? Got to fix this up. Hebrews 13, 15. Are you ready? Have you got it? You got it? All right, read it aloud with me, all right? Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. God is pleased. We ought to offer up to God the sacrifice of praise to God continually. I can leave the last verse because that's going to tie in the love. Let me just say one thing here. The love that's the life that is dominated by love. Wow. Wow. You ought to write this down. The life that is dominated by love is always a life that is lived in submission to others, period. The life that's dominated by love is always lived in submission to others. Doesn't matter whether it's in marriage. This is where the husband gets knocked over the head. She's to obey you and you are to submit to her. There is mutual submission in marriage. The Holy Spirit of God. Love and submission go together. You can't have love without submission. Not possible. Okay? The life that is dominated by love is a love that is always, a life that is always lived in submission to others. It really is. The Spirit of God makes us servants, not bosses. The Spirit of God doesn't put us in control. The Spirit of God puts us in ministry through everything that happens in our life. Okay? We are servants. We're not bosses. And those who live as servants are the ones who become the most productive of all. And you can do that if you have a college degree or don't, if you're talented or not. This is for everybody. Because the Holy Spirit of God is as powerful in one life always as he is in another. Yeah? Yes or no? So the key is be being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Ministering to each other. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. There was a song I used to hear on the radio. My parents played the program all the time. Can I sing it for you? My voice is all gone at this age in life. The trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebodes, but at the cross of Calvary sings, praise God for lifted loads. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's way, for Jesus has lifted my load. And I heard that time and time and time again. Listen, let the Spirit of God sing in your heart. Just let him sing. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord. Now that's rejoicing. I don't like what I'm not enjoying that. Praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load.